Greetings in Jesus' name, and welcome you to the cross-bearing road. We sang several songs about taking up our cross. Sometimes people look at us as separated people and they say, well, what do you have to live for? There's nothing fun. You can't do anything fun. All you have to look forward to is a cross. Well, I invite you to join me in following the cross. The cross before me, the world behind me, that is where true joy and satisfaction is found. And I appreciated that prayer, that God's Spirit would hover over us and fill us. We need filling. We come here to be filled, right? We come here because we need more. We need more of God. We need more of His filling. And I trust that He will do that for us today. You can open your Bibles to James chapter 4. I'm going to continue on in our little book study of James. James 4 is the first half. We want to look at the first 12 verses, a little over half. But he talks about a subject that's a little uncomfortable, at least a subject I don't really like. He talks about conflict. Who likes conflict? I think some people like conflict better than others. I personally don't like conflict. Have you ever heard of the War of Whiskers? Have you ever heard of the War of the Oaken Bucket? Have you ever heard of the War of Jenkins' Ear? These are all wars that actually happened in history that you could go back and read about. Some crazy things that happened. But people fight over some really unique things sometimes. Some really bizarre things sometimes. Where does conflict come from? That's what we want to look at this morning. James wrote this chapter, he wrote this letter at the direction of the Holy Spirit. This is from God for us. He wrote this book to who? Do you know? James 1:1, to the 12 tribes. He was writing to Christians that were scattered abroad, believers in Jesus. And he said, do you know where our strife comes from? What's up with this strife that's among you? Do you know where it's coming from? So, I think we have to be honest. It would be easy for me to stand up here this morning and look over a sea of lovely faces smiling and say, strife? Y'all don't know anything about that, right? The reality is that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where there's sin, and there are times that we deal with strife. I heard just this week about a marriage counseling place. And I believe that if I heard correctly, as much as I know about it, they offer a lot of help for couples who have strife in their marriage. But their waiting list is 2 years. That's how many people, that's how many married couples there are who are living with strife and looking for help. Things come up sometimes. There is strife. There's conflict. I titled the message this morning, Identifying the Source of Conflict. And I think if you read this with an open mind, what James wants to do is take you from just trying to pinpoint what the strife is and take you right to the root. What is the problem? When there is strife, what is going on? Let's read the first 12 verses. James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? If you remember our last look in the book of James, we looked at true wisdom, the wisdom that is from above. You look back at the end of chapter 3 there, and he outlines this beautiful quality of life that results in peaceful relationships. He says, if you follow these, that fruit that you sow, this life that is fruitful in gentleness and peaceableness and mercy, without our partiality, those fruits are seeds that will grow peace. Okay? They will bring peace to relationships. But the truth is, relationships aren't always peaceful. And that's why he gives us things to make for peace. But then he says, but if there's strife, here's what the problem is. Here's the root of it. For the first part of the message, I want to look at three types of conflict that he identifies and let those take us to the root of what's going on. And then the second part of the message, I just want to look at four ways to enjoy peace with God. Identifying the source of conflict. Before we can go to the source, let's consider first of all what he's saying here. What are the types of conflict that he's talking about? I want to write them up for you. The first one is conflict with each other. Conflict with each other. We see that in the first verse. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Okay, so we sometimes find conflict on, we'll say, each other. It could be a family level. It could be a brotherhood level. It could be on a work level. You name it. There's conflict. There's conflict going on. Not on all those levels and not in all of our hearts, but there is so much conflict. Just even think about the conflict in our world that we can kind of distance ourselves from sometimes. And the conflict with the protests and the anti-police rhetoric that's being proclaimed. There's just conflict. So much conflict among each other. But it's even among Christians. He talks about it in verses 11 and 12 as well. And you see this conflict where someone's speaking evil and they're judging and they're thinking about the motives of the brother or sister and trying to evaluate it. And there's conflict. But think about some more people. I'm going to call them people of God in the Bible who faced conflict. I wonder how many you could think of. Remember the story about Abraham and Lot? They faced conflict. Lot quarreled with Abraham. We talked about David in our Sunday school class, a man after God's own heart. Then you have his own son Absalom declaring war, right? Just conflict within even family. The disciples argued who would be the greatest. Conflict among themselves, right? These were Jesus' chosen disciples to follow him and to learn from him and to teach them and to prepare them to go out to the world. And here they are, strife among themselves. We know the story about Paul and Barnabas. They had great contention over John Mark. Even some of the churches. This is post-Christ. This is after The message of the gospel had gone out and churches had set up and people turned from idols to serve the living God. They turned from the formalism of the Jewish culture they were in and they turned to Jesus. And yet we still have, let's see, in Corinth there were brethren suing each other. And they were competing in public assemblies. At Galatia, we talked about this yesterday as a family. They were biting and devouring one another. What does that look like? He says, beware that you aren't consumed of each other. At Philippi, there was two women that were having trouble getting along. This is all conflict within the context of family and brotherhood where we should be getting along. I think he warns about a couple of things that we should avoid. Even in the, if you think about the broader context of James, think about in James 1, let's see, verses 19 and 20. Let's read those. Let's just go back through what we already looked at in James. 19 and 20, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Why does he say that? He said, there's going to be strife. If you don't watch your words, if you aren't slow to speak, words can create strife. Go to chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. You know what he's talking about in here? The sin of social partiality, my Bible says, where you develop this concept of levels or layers within the brotherhood, or you have you're partial toward one another, or you have families that are cliques and they will only relate together and not with someone else. He says, no, don't do that. That creates strife. We see it here in chapter 3, where we looked at in our last sermon, verse 14, 15, 16. He says, if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not. And he talks about the strife that you find sometimes. He says, that's not true wisdom. It might look like it. The person might, you might say, well, this is a brother in the church. He says, no, wait, if this is the fruit, there's strife and it's not wisdom that's from above. And then we have here, we already talked about a number of things in chapter 4, the judging, verse 11 and 12. These are things that create strife. And I think this evil speaking and this judging is probably something that happens without us almost thinking about it sometimes, especially when we communicate across our devices. Okay, it's so easy to read into a person's message and say, well, I wonder if they were thinking this, or what were they thinking about me? And we start assuming and judging. No, this creates strife. So one of the types of conflict or strife that James is identifying is conflict within each other. Okay, so this happens sometimes. Secondly, he talks about conflict within our own hearts. Let's put that down for the second one. Conflict within our own hearts. Sometimes there's a war going on in our own hearts. And the conflict that we see on the outside is simply an indication of something that's going on inside. And that can come from a lot of different things. He talks about the lust that's within our own members, our own selfishness, our own desires, our own craving to satisfy our life with pleasures. There's all kinds of things that can happen within us. But it, I think, all gets summed up with selfishness. So this whole concept of these things happen, the strife happens in our hearts. And I can hardly talk about it without going to the third one. But he talks about selfishness. The key problem is selfishness. It's selfish desires that lead to wrong actions. He talks about the wrong kind of praying, the wrong kind of asking. You have this strife. Look how he says it. He says, you're asking and not receiving. That sounds like strife, right? Conflict. Like, why am I not getting from God what I want? Okay? Selfishness. And I think this is often why people are at strife with each other, is because of things that are already happening within themselves. But that's still not the root. The third conflict that he talks about is conflict with God. And it's hard to differentiate that, I suppose, because they can all be so closely tied together. But it really is rebellion against God. Look what he says. He says, verse 4 to 10, just go back over some of these. He says, you're adulterers and adulteresses, okay? This is a relationship problem, a love problem, where I love something else more than God, something that is taking the place of God in my life, and God says it's adultery. It is idol worship. It's wrong. It's rebellion against me. Adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? He identifies three things, I think, that fall under this that are keys to, or that are indicators of conflict with God. The first one we have here in verse 4, it's the world. So the enemies that we need to avoid if we want to be at peace with God. This conflict that we have with God comes from loving the world. The world is an enemy of God, he says. Whoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You cannot cozy up to the world and still say, I love God. You can't embrace their ideals, embrace their goals, embrace their standard of living and say, but I'm one of God's children. He says it doesn't work. It's anti-God, it's anti-Christ. And to be a friend of the world makes us an enemy of God. And that will create conflict. It will break that relationship, that openness that God longs to have between us and him. He also says, verse 1 and verse 5, we see that our flesh is another enemy that will create this barrier between us and God and create strife within our own hearts. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Even of your lusts that war in your members. He says, your own desires, your own self, your own flesh. Verse 5, he calls it a spirit. The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. In other words, that tendency within us, that selfish flesh within us, creates a war, as it were. It divides us, separates us from God, creates conflict in our heart. When we try to follow the flesh, go read Romans chapter 7, right? You see a person longing to follow God and yet also struggling to deal with the flesh in a way that honors God. We need to submit the desires of the flesh to God in order to be at peace with God. And then he also talks about the devil. That's the third enemy of God. Let's see, that's in verse 6 and 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so when we give in to the voice of the tempter, go back to the garden, right? That creates inner turmoil. What happened to Adam and Eve after they had given in to the voice of the devil? And then they heard the voice of God. All of a sudden, we see this turmoil. We're not right with God. We need to hide from God. Okay? God calls it, again, adultery. I think that the devil's greatest... Well, look what he says there in verse 6 and 7. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And he ties this whole idea of humility versus pride right in with the temptation of the devil. I think that's probably his greatest tool that he uses to create separation, to create conflict within our own hearts, is pride. Pride. Proverbs 13:10, we could quote it by heart. Only by pride cometh contention. There we go. Only by pride cometh contention. And I think that, again, I believe that this is the root. And I think that any time that you find conflict, you can follow it down to this root. We could have drawn this as a tree. But when there's conflict with God, it will lead to conflict in our own hearts, which will lead to conflict with each other. They build on each other. The only way to have peace in our hearts and the only way to have peaceful relationships with each other is to deal with the root issue, and that is finding peace with God. And we know that. I thought about it in the life of Cain and Abel. Think through that quickly with me. Cain and Abel. We see the conflict really coming out right here, right? We see with each other. I don't know what all went on up to that point, but we know that one day Cain said, I'm going to kill my brother. I'm so angry with him. And he did. He killed his brother. We could say, oh, well, there was the conflict. But no, we know the story. The conflict started before. There was a conflict in his own heart, right? Cain was bringing an offering that, I don't know what all he thought. And I don't know. Did God require blood sacrifice? Was it wrong for him to bring fruit? There was something that was going on in his heart. And when God talked to him, we get a window into his life. And God says, you know, if you do well, you know, you'll please me. And it leads us right back to conflict with God, right? Cain had this inner struggle of wanting to do what was right and yet wanting to do what was easy. And it came from a broken relationship with God. So how do we enjoy peace with God? We don't want this conflict, do we? None of us want this conflict. Let's just look at what James says. Four things that I think are integral in order to find the conflict removed, to find a heart that's at peace with God, at peace with our own selves, and at peace with those about us. First, he says, submit to God. Submit to God in verse 7. That literally means get in your rank. Put yourself where you belong. Where do you belong? Where is your place? Well, if you're a father, if you're a mother, if you're a child, if you're a youth, if you're a church leader, if you're an employer, if you're an employee, okay? You know, there's different places where you have responsibilities and different places where we submit ourselves. But I think, let me just put up another drawing here. I think that as we endeavor to find our place, and I think this is going to go along with some of the others, I want us to just think about our own selves maybe as something like this. So we'll just call this the whole. The whole of life, or the whole of, you could call it brotherhood, you could call it family. Just wherever, maybe specifically identify where you're struggling with conflict. But where are you? Where am I? In relation to the whole. We need to be within. Well, I'll just say me. I find my place within the whole of, let's talk about brotherhood first. You want to avoid conflict? You want to put James 4 to practice in your life? One of the things that you have to see, one of the things I have to see is that, first of all, I'm a much smaller part than the whole, okay? I'm only a part of the whole. But I am within the whole, okay? I contribute to the whole, and let's say brotherhood. I contribute to the brotherhood, and the brotherhood contributes into my life. That's the healthy perspective. Too often, whether it's pride or whether it's some of these other things we're going to look at, we may say, well, now maybe I should have made that a little bit bigger. Maybe this is me out here. And there's two problems. You can have this thing where you say, and everybody better feed me, right? The church better provide for my needs. The church better have good sermons when I get there. The church better ask me when I was at the doctor and make sure they cover my bills or whatever. And it's about me. Or we can say, I really, you know, they really need me in there. And I need to make sure everybody knows that I'm pouring stuff into the whole, right? I'm keeping the brotherhood alive. It's my job. That's not healthy either. There's this humility places us in here. Inside, again, it could be a family as well. I am only a part of this family. I'm a part of a body. I have a place to fill, and I have a need as well in my life. And I need that. I need that. So submitting ourselves to God is putting ourselves in rank, putting ourselves where we are in God's eyes, where He wants us to be. And that means serving those around us and allowing others to serve us as well. Submit to God will lead to peace. Resisting the devil, number two. We find that also in verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The devil, we said, is an enemy. It will bring strife in our hearts when we give in to his voice. Resist the devil. Use scripture as Christ did. And this is a promise we can claim. He will flee. He will flee. Verse 8, the third one, draw near to God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. This is how we find peace. We need to know God. We need to know what closeness is with God. We need to be where God can speak into our hearts and where we can talk to him. It is so important to draw near to God. Cleanse our hands. Find forgiveness. Find healing. Find restoration. Be transparent. Be perfect, like we talked about in Sunday school. Don't live a shell. Live with a heart that loves God and wants to serve God, and that we can come to God in boldness and find a relationship there. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If there's conflict in our hearts, this is one of the things that we can come back to and say, well, God, I long for a relationship with you. Draw near to me. I will draw near to you. Humble yourselves in the sight of God. Verse 9 and 10 is the fourth one. And again, that really does bring us back to this. Humility. This is pride. Whether the arrows are going this way or whether they're coming this way, both are pride. It really is. It's thinking of myself in a way that God does not want me to think, and viewing myself as, I suppose, more important or less important than God wants. I need to contribute. God does want to use. He wants to use every one of us. But it takes humility. It is so important that we humble ourselves. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's a very quick look at these 12 verses. There is much more. I didn't have a lot of time to work at this passage. I would enjoy hearing more from you. But I really think that James wants us. He does it with grace, but he goes right to the point. And he says, you know what? I know there's going to be some strife. There's going to be things you face. And there are probably things beyond what we talked about. There's sometimes strife that comes just from doing what's right. I'm not referring to that necessarily. But when there's strife, when there's conflict, when there's relationships that are strained, let's go back to the heart. Let's look at our relationship. Start with a relationship with God. Is my heart soft toward God? Am I obedient toward God? Am I resisting the devil, or am I feeding my flesh and living selfishly and carnally? His diagnosis is, go to the root, examine your relationship with God. Admit your own role in the conflict. It's so easy in conflict to say, but that person, right? No, James says, come back. Come back to your relationship with God. When you sow peace, when you sow righteousness, when you practice wisdom that's from above, God will bring peace. And I am thankful for the peaceful relationships that we have here. And God, help us to resolve conflict. Don't live with it. Don't let it go on. Don't let it bring that stress into your life. Let's face it and bring God's answers. Let's kneel for prayer.